These are the five basic principles to move on with God. We need to constantly receive Him into our life. In other words, we need a greater measure of His revelation. I encourage you, whatever your experience so far, don't stop there. Ask for more of God. He must come first. You see, before you are judged, you must experience Him first. The judgment of God comes only after His presence comes. So Jesus comes. Then Jesus gathers you to Him. Number two, you draw near to Him. Then number three, the cleaning process starts. Then number four, the teaching process comes. Then number five, the feeding process comes. These five are important steps in what I call John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The first two steps are He in you. He is in you. Second step, you are in Him. Third step, He cuts, He prunes. Fourth step, He began to nourish you with His word. And fifth step, He began to put His life into you. All these will be found in John chapter 15, the relationship of the vine and the branch, which applies to the church age. And that relationship has a judgment factor. Every one of us who have grown closer with God know this. The more close you become with God, the more He judges you personally. He deals with your life in areas that you could get away with earlier, long ago. But as you draw near to God, John G. Lake, in his great experience with God, and he talked about how he received that tremendous power that came upon his life, and then he went to Africa and planted over 1,000 churches. John G. Lake, the great apostolic ministry, speaks about how he was so hungry for God. And then he cried out to God for more of God. And as he drew near to the time God was going to put that upon him, there was a great light that came upon him. And he says when that great light came, God reminded him of every single thing that he has ever did. There was a cleansing that is needed. Every one of us needs pruning, my friends. If you were ever to be stopped being pruned, you will stop bearing fruit. Every time you are born fruit, you will be pruned. And I tasted the pruning of God from time to time. And God cuts some more. And God cuts some more. And God cuts some more. Until our inward being and outward being becomes conformed to His image. If your life is dry, it's because you're not drawing close enough to let Him prune your life. Or perhaps you have drawn close to God and He started dealing in a very personal area of your life. And you're not comfortable when you start withdrawing. Because every time you draw near, He reminds you. Every time you draw near, He reminds you He wants to prune the area out of your life. And things get dry after some time because you are on a plateau. And God said, would you like me to cut it out? You say, no. Then God said, never mind, I'll wait. And then you go round and round and it gets more dry. Do you know that every ministry, if they don't watch out, will hit a patch of dryness? Look at the charismatics of 20 years ago and 15 years ago. I want you to know, many charismatics today, if they will only be sincere and admit it, are dry. They are baptized in the Spirit, they have spoken in tongues before, but they are dry. Even though they have tongues. And many people who have gone into the move of God, many word of faith people, the word of faith was strong the last 10 years. It was fresh for many people. But I want you to know, I know it in my spirit, many people in the word of faith today are dry. Why? They say after confession, it works, it gets a bit dry. We need to draw near to God. to let Him deal more in our life. Not only that, some people who move into the gifts of the Spirit, after they move for some time, it gets exciting. Then after some time, it gets dry. Why this kind of dryness keep happening? What's the mystery of this dryness? And then many people who worship God, and they, when they enter into worship, oh, it's wonderful. Or they do some work for the church in some area, something. It's exciting. There's an anointing there. I mean, excited. But after the 1,000th time that they were doing, it's a bit dry. What's wrong? Why must this dryness come? Why is it that Jesus say that when you drink of the rivers of living water, you will never thirst again? Why is it that people thirst again? Why is it that people get dry? The answer is in John chapter 15. And is what Michael has spoken to us all the time. It tells us here in verse 2, and every branch that bears fruit, the two key words, He prunes. If you don't allow Him to prune you, you will be dry. Every time after you bear fruit, and every branch that bears fruit, I mean, this is after fruit bearing. This is after the success. This is after the harvest. This is after the anointing. This is after the great work. He prunes. If you do not allow Him to prune, you will be dry. Until you get back and let Him prune. My friends, I want you to know pruning is painful. It can be very painful. Pruning can be very painful. And every one of us will go to the cycle where we need pruning. What do you mean by cycle, you say? You see, there are cycles of success. And every time you've gone through it, He will bring you close to Him and they say, come, come close to me. I want to mow you more. I want to prune you more. It gets painful. But the wonderful thing is, He does it because He loves us. And He does it, notice in John 15, that you may bear more fruit. We may want to bear fruit, but how about the more fruit? He prunes that He may bear fruit. More fruit. Some people have borne fruit, and then it's a full stop. We don't want a full stop in our life. We want to go on until we meet Him face to face. And that's where the key elements are given in chapter 6 and 7 of Micah. You see, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 talks about all the relationship of the vine and the branch. Then in chapter 6 and 7, it gets into detail about this pruning that needs to be done. And I'll just give you the key names that are there. In chapter 6 and 7, it's on a different theme altogether. Basically, chapter 6 and 7 are like a pleading before God. Michael pleading. And it is a positive chapter. And you notice in chapter 6 and 7, both emphases are the same. Judgment is always followed by mercy. That's why God is different from man. Judgment is followed by punishment. That's human being. There are a lot of sayings that are quite good. You know, we know like the saying like, to err is, to, like, man proposes, God disposes, and all these kind of things. To err is human, to forgive divine. But here's another one. For man, punishment follows judgment. For God, mercy follows judgment. That tells you He is still the God of love. How many fathers, when they punish their own child, would disown them? You won't, right? Same with God. He does not. After the child is punished, the father takes the child and hugs the child. The child is grieved, the father is also grieved. The child cries, the father also cries. That's our God. That's Papa God. Mercy follows judgment. Many people learn judgment, many churches learn church discipline, but they don't learn the other part. Excommunication is all the church does many times. But they don't realize that in God, judgment follows mercy. See, I know Christians fall into the extreme. And a lot of Christians take action, but they have no mercy. Remember, the purpose of an action and judgment is to save, not to destroy. When you correct a child, is it to destroy a child or to make the child a better person? Of course, the latter. Same with God. Same with God. In chapter 6, he says in verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Chapter 7, verse 18, Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever. Because he delights in mercy, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. Oh, I thank you, Father, for your mercy. Without 6 and 7, Michael is not complete. Remember this all your life. Every prophecy on judgment contains his mercy. How different from many prophets of doom? How different from many authoritarian ecclesiastical judgments that are passed? They have no mercy. Even Paul, when he says in the book of 1 Corinthians, put aside that man who was committing incest, and they did. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul said, that's enough. Please get him back before he totally is lost. And I realized that many times, I know, like in our position as church leaders, it's easy to correct and take action. But remember this, we who are in the leadership in church must learn that judgment and mercy go together. And we must learn the purpose of the judgment. I can recall many stories in the 15 years of ministry that I've seen here and there of many actions taken that could have destroyed many people who they made a small mistake. Instead of being corrected, they got shot down. Many people who perhaps they failed in some area and judgment is due, but the judgment was too harsh.